Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Hope you're ready for God to speak to you. I don't know of any announcements. I will say this for those Sunday school classes that moved over, thank you very much. I mean, I think it was a pretty hot day to do that on, too, so it was a good timing. I will ask you this, if there's anything you all need, please let us know. I know of a couple items already we'll take care of, but for those three Sunday school classes, anything you need, either see myself or Rick Hudson. Yes, ma'am. Okay, Miss Cindy said she needs everybody to purchase one can of Pringle chips. No, you didn't say that the first time. Now, eat them and then save the empty can and bring it here. The tall cans. Has to be Pringles. And keep the top. Pringles, tall Pringle cans, keep the top. Enjoy them as you eat them, but then bring them here. And they have until VBS to do that. Okay. End of June. That way she knows how many she has to go buy. So, okay. Anything else? All right. Again, thank you for being here. I hope you're excited because I feel like God's going to really have a time with us this morning. How's that? So, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Join me if you will. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Psalms 146. Join me in prayer, please. God, I would say we invite you into our service today. But you're already here, and you have invited us. Father, may we look forward to what you have in store for us through our singing, through our message, through the words of the youth. In every aspect, make yourself known to us. May we be hearers of the word, that we can go out and be doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Stand as we sing about God's goodness. To generation, we worship you.
good.
Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. All the time. God is good. Just want to remind you a little bit. I don't know what you are going through today, but Isaiah 41:10 tells us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Welcome to the house of God. Amen. God is good. All the time. We are excited. We're still praying, and we continue to pray for revival. Amen. God is at work. He's at work, and he's working in our midst. And we give him the glory. And if you are here for the first time, or if you have a prayer request, we ask that you just put it on the care card in your bulletin right there, and we'd love to hear from you. Also, we want to take just a minute to pray. I know we have folks who are, I know we need to pray for Miss Linda. And maybe there's somebody else in your heart this morning. If you just voice the name, please. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come to you. Thank you, Father. You're sitting on your throne, and you're listening to us, and you're hearing our hearts this morning. And we want to lift all these folks to you today, Father. May you, O Lord, do a miracle. May you, O Lord, strengthen them, Father, physically or emotionally or spiritually. Whatever they may be going through, Father, we ask, Lord, that you bless them today. Father, thank you for allowing us to praise you and worship you. In Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We have a few testimonies from the camp. I just want to say thank you to the chaperones. Thank you for Brother Vic for driving down there, and for the kids who went. It's always an exciting time. Of course, if you are a chaperone, it takes a little more time to recoup. Amen. Say amen. So. But we have two wonderful testimonies, one representing our chaperones and one our youth. And I'm going to ask them if they will come, and they're going to share a testimony about the Super Wow in Panama City. All right.
I just want to say that camp impacted me. It impacted me very positively. It proved to me that God will always be there for me, and that I should always be there to serve him. Amen. It also said that I should be a consumer, not a producer of God's word. I should be a producer, not a consumer of God's word.
Amen.
And it also said that they also taught that we are meant for so much more than what we think. It shouldn't be, I am something that happens to be a Christian. It should be, I am a Christian that happens to be something.
Amen.
And also, I just want to, everyone at that camp was so welcoming, and it was, the fellowship was great. And in the morning, they did something called Super Wow, where there were three teams, and they would just go up, and there would be competitions. And that was fun. It was fun, but also my favorite part was the worship.
Amen.
What team won the Wow Awards?
Us.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to try to get through this. It was a good time, but then it was a sad time. And I don't know where Rick is. I want to thank you for the use of your wife's shoulder for the tough times, but during the Super Wow, these youngins are something else. this main ringleader over here got them all to get this baby boomer up on stage for a contest. They had church that was behind us and everybody pointing to me to get up on that stage. And it was just a big thrill to do that for them. And then Belinda calls me up and asked me to come up here, up to their room, because they wanted to paint my face. And just see the joy in their face while they were doing all that and everything. And then they put all this earring stuff and all that. And I walked in to the service there with all that on. And one of the chaperones said, "I like your earrings." And I said, "Yeah, they did all this to me, but payback's coming." So at this time, I'd like to ask Emma, Everett, Nakisha, don't hide back there. Come on up here, Nakisha. Come on. Come on. I know all of them ain't here, but payback is here.
Oh.
Payback is here. I know. This is the ringleader here. And Josie was the ringleader, too. You know the game, the box? Yeah, the game box. All right. Who won the World Series in 1997? Okay. Now then, I want to see and teach all these boomers that are out here. You're outnumbered. The boomers are here. The nae-nae. Your best nae-nae move.
Okay.
It was just a pleasure to be with them, right. Just to see God work in their lives.
Amen.
And this one here, when we first went out, she was quiet, bashful, and she really came out there toward the end, and she was just a gabbing, talking and talking and talking. She really opened up, and we just enjoyed seeing the Lord working in their lives. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We have a slideshow.
And I just can't believe we are together. And I wanna say to you, but I'm losing you. I'll buy you anything. I'll buy you anything. I'm in pieces. Baby, fix me. And you just shake me till you wake me from this bad dream. I'm going down, 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 down. And I just can't believe my friends love me. I just spit everywhere.
think I need to learn how to do that dance. It's called what?
Church clap.
The church clap. Yeah. Who wants to learn it with me? Okay. All right. Well, we would love to learn the church clap. Or I would, anyway. All right. Christ is greater and more beautiful and more worthy than anything else we could pursue. The world chases after so many things, success, popularity, achievements, possessions, but none of these things truly satisfy the way that Jesus does. Stand and sing with us.
Forevermore be thine.
pray with me? Father, what beautiful words that come from our lips. How great you are. Father, may we never stop praising your name and saying those words, not only with our lips, but with our heart and the way we live. Father, thank you for so many blessings. You display to us how great you are. May we display to others how great you are. As we take these tithes and offerings, may you bless them, that we would use them to the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." How might God want to use you to shine his light this week? Ask him to make you bold enough to share his word, share his love, and willing to be used for his purpose.
Come set our
for Children's Church.
Praise the Lord. God is good. That's an excellent song. I love that. It's wonderful. And, you know, that's exactly what happened after the Holy Spirit had fell in the book of Acts, chapter 1:8. It says that when the Spirit of God came, said, "You'll be my witness. You'll be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth." And so, and this is why we're here today. We're here because someone accepted Christ, somebody shared Christ with someone, and somebody shared Christ with us. And we responded to that wonderful love of the Lord. The Lord is at work, and we give him all the honor and all the glory. You know, the Lord has been talking to me lately about evangelism, about sharing the gospel with other folks. And so he's been steering me, and I've been praying and asking the Lord. And you know, sometimes we just gotta get going. We just gotta go. And so I had somebody in my heart this week, and so I went and called, and I was able to share the gospel with them. And so, you know, and that's what we need to do, you know. And so I always said, listen, the devil will never tell you to pray. The devil will never tell you to read the Bible. And the devil for sure is not going to tell us to go share the gospel. And so we need to understand that. And so, but what is the gospel? What is the essence of the gospel? And today I want us to look at the essence of the gospel. And so I'm going to ask you to look for Matthew 24:14, and I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's word. And this is the gospel of the kingdom. Will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all the honor and all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We are thankful, Father, for the life. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Father, our church didn't wake us up. You did. And so we want to give you all honor and all glory. Father, may you, Father, bring revival in our midst. Father, will you revive our lives, Father? Father, may we lead differently than what we came today. Father, may you speak to our hearts as we study your word. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You know, we're looking at the life or in our vision of the church, and we want to be a family of faith that glorifies God. A family of faith that glorifies God. Our vision is focused on the gospel. The center of our vision statement is the gospel. And so today we're going to be talking about Matthew 24:14. And it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." You know, many people talk about the end of the world. Many people talked about, you know, and through history there have been religions and cults who have put dates on when everything is going to end. Matthew 24:36 tells us that no one knows when that day will be. It said the Son or the angels in heaven don't know, but when it will be, but only the Father knows when that day will be. What we do know is that the gospel is going to be preached, that the gospel is going to be preached all over the world. And then after that takes place, it says the end will come. So from that perspective, it's the gospel that's going to be preached, and then the end will come. We don't need to be looking at dates. We don't need to be looking at all philosophies or all kind of different things. We need to focus that the gospel is preached. You know, one of the things that I'm excited about our denomination is that we have missionaries preaching the gospel all over the world. They're preaching the gospel. They're telling people about the Lord in almost 120 countries around the world. And you know, if we are supporting that cause to take the gospel, I thank you on a personal note that our boys have been able to do this during the summers, that they're going and sharing, even as we speak right now. Joshua is in Boston in university campuses and MIT and Harvard, and he's sharing the gospel over there right now as we are in here, and we're supporting that. And there's missionaries all over the world, but what is the essence of the gospel? And that's what I want us to talk to you about. What is the essence of the gospel? And so we need to understand that our focus is the gospel. People need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Amen? We all need Jesus. We need Jesus. So what is a definition of good news? Or rather, what is the definition of the gospel? The gospel is good news. It's good news. You know, I know you turn on the television and there is not a lot of good news. Sometimes news get worse. But listen, the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news. Well, the first thing that we need to understand about the gospel, the essence of the gospel, is number one, humanity was created for relationship with God. The first thing that we need to understand, the very first thing about the essence of the gospel, is that we have all been created for a relationship with God. You know, Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sin. So in other words, because of sin, there is this gap that we cannot meet with God the way that He wants us to meet with Him. And so we have been created for relationships. We have created relationships with our children, with our siblings, with our spouses. We've been created for relationship with God, to talk to God. You know, before Adam and Eve, they had a wonderful relationship with God. They would talk to God, and God would talk to them. And there was communication, constant communication between them. But yet sin came into the world. And then it says, because of that, sin went through all the generations, in all humanity. The second thing, our sin separates us from that relationship. Because of our sin, because of our nature of our sin, that separates us from that relationship with God. It says, Isaiah 59:2, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. And then Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. We fall short of the glory of God. People need to understand that they have been made, they've been created by God for a relationship with Him. This is what we have been created for, to have fellowship with Him. And thirdly, there is nothing that we can do to reconcile this relationship on our own. See, that relationship cannot be restored on our end. There is nothing that we can do on our end. So this is why God sent Jesus to die on the cross. He sent Jesus to die on the cross. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, we cannot save ourselves, but God loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son. That was the purpose of Christ coming. That's that gap, there's a gap between God and man, and we cannot go over there. So God sent His Son. He became flesh and dwell among us, so that we can now be restored, be reconciled with God. Now, once we give our lives to Christ, once the Spirit of God comes to live in our hearts, that relationship has been restored. Now you can talk to God. Now you can hear from God. Now you can communicate back and forth. You can have communication with Him. You talk to Him, He talks to you. You hear from Him. Oh, you get in the Word of God and He speaks to you. Oh, he'll pump you up, as we say. No Cuban coffee needed. He'll pump you up. You get in the Word of God, He says, I am with you. I will strengthen you. I am your God. Do not be afraid. Oh, listen, He just pumps you up. And when you're down, He'll lift you up. It's because it has been restored. The relationship has been restored because of the cross. And it was by God's wonderful grace. It wasn't what we did. It's all that He did for us. It's everything about Him. It's what He has done for you and all this community. He wants to restore the relationship. He's looking for us. You know, Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God is after us. He's seeking you. He's seeking you. He's looking for you. He's looking for those who do not have that relationship. He wants to restore you. This is why Jesus did not come down from the cross. He stayed there until it was finished. Once He was finished, listen, He was buried, and the devil said, I am done with Him. I finally got rid of Him. But in the third day, He raised from the dead. And the devil said, I'm in trouble now. And He's alive. He's alive. And because He's alive, we're alive. He's alive, I'm alive. Fourth thing, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. See, the fact that that relationship was separated, there was something, there was a penalty. There was a penalty. He said, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise. Without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have become brought near by the blood of Christ. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. See, we were without God. We thought we knew God. We thought we had a relationship with God. But the Bible says otherwise. The Bible says that we were far away, that we were without God in this world. People need to know. They need to know that they need that relationship. They need to be restored in that relationship. In 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says, and this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son. There's not going to be two, just one. And he already came into the world that he might live through him. This is love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He paid the price for our sinful nature in order to restore that relationship. He did it. He loves us. He loves the sinner, but he does not like sin. And so he sent his Son to die for you, for your sinful nature, to be restored. Jesus rose from the dead that we might have life. Jesus rose from the dead that we might have life. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he was giving us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ has given us new birth. We have new birth. When you come to Christ, when that relationship is restored, you have a new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. And so he gives us a new birth. But God also demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if he, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through this life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You see, when we accept Christ, when the relationship gets back, we are now our and have been reconciled with God. Wow, what a blessing. But number 6, Jesus offers eternal life, a reconciled relationship to those who will repent of their sin by placing their faith in him. When you put your trust in him, when you put your faith in him, that relationship is reconciled. That relationship is restored. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they know you. See, it's about knowing God. It's not about being Baptist. It's not about being Methodist or Presbyterian or Catholic or Pentecostal. Listen, it's about knowing God, and you can know God, and that relationship is restored. And it's in the present tense. It says that we have eternal life. Not that we'll have it, but that we have it immediately. You will have eternal life right now. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I have eternal life. Jesus is waiting for me, and he's waiting for you. Get up, my brother and sister. Get up, because you have eternal life. God is looking for you. He wants you to know God. He wants you to have this relationship with God. Peter, in Acts 2:38, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That day, when Peter got up, historians tell us the message was 10 minutes. 3,000 people came forward. The power of God. You have eternal life. God is looking for you. God wants you and him to have a restored relationship. That's like what he wants in our own marriages. He wants our marriages to be restored. If we say something, we did something, we need to ask for forgiveness and restore the relationship. And listen, when you and I become Christians and believers, when we do what God wants us to do, the devil will always, always, always is going to challenge that relationship. Anything that God said, and that's what the Bible is, what God already said, he will rebuttal. He will try. Listen, anything that God said, you married until you die, until death do us part. And the devil says, right. Fighting with our children, anything that has to do with relationship, he will attack. And you need to know that. If you have a relationship with God, he will never tell you read the Bible. That strengthens the relationship. He'll never tell you go and pray. You know why? Because that strengthens the relationship. He'll never tell you come to church and hear the word of God. You know why? Because that will strengthen the relationship. Because if you come to the house of the Lord on Sunday, when you leave here, you say, come on, Monday, I'm ready for you. Amen? You were in the Word. You were in Bible study. You were listening. You were praising the Lord. You were strengthening that relationship. And anytime you strengthen the relationship, you and I can overcome the darts of the devil. You know why? 1 John 1:4 Little children, for greater is he who lives in you, that which is in the world. He said, you have overcome them. For greater is he who lives in you than that which is in the world. We are alive. We have eternal life. You know what I'm doing right now? Like the other day, I went to O'Reilly's. Said, your battery needs to be charged, sir. I'm just putting spiritual cables on you today. You have eternal life. You have the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living in you. You have eternal life. This is the essence of the gospel. The people, they need to have this relationship. This relationship needs to be restored. Maybe today, you need to restore the relationship with God. Maybe today is the day of salvation. Once it's restored, just tell the Lord, Lord, I open the door of my heart. Revelation 3:20. He says, I am at the door and I'm knocking. Whoever opens the door, if you hear me, open the door and I will come in. Oh, I will come in. Listen, you will experience the power of God in your life. And you will be born again. Your name will be written in the book of life right now. The pen is ready. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. The Lord says, you're my child. I got you. I got you. Just give it to me. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we just give you all honor and all glory. Lord, what a blessing it is to see our young people get spiritually charged. But we know the devil's not happy. We understand that. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. And then he will come. Do you have a relationship with God? Would you like today, whether you are watching us through Facebook or any other social media, or you are present here today, God wants to restore the relationship with you. He wants to reconcile. He's already paid the debt for you and for me and for the whole world. Will you put your trust in Christ today? Will you open your heart to Christ today? This is what's going to happen. You're going to ask to forgive you of your sin, and he will. And then the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to come and live in you. It's an experience. It's the most powerful experience you will ever live. As the music leads.
Stand and sing with us.
Will you dismiss us in prayer, please?